Hey, welcome to the Nerdy Rant. It's Wednesday, and we are leading up to Extra Life, which I'm going to be doing this weekend, and it's going to be Halloween soon, so Let's get started. Hey, welcome everybody.
Welcome to the Nerdy Rant.
It is Wednesday, October 25th.
2017.
Next Tuesday is Halloween?
Yes, next Tuesday.
And I'm going to be streaming for Extra Life starting on Friday for 12 hours and then Sunday for 12 hours.
Mm-hmm. And don't forget, Extra Life is a charity where gamers do a 24-hour stream, not necessarily in order. And it supports our local children's hospital, and people can do it to support any children's hospital all around the country.
Yeah. You sign up yourself, get your friends to give you donate for your Extra Life campaign.
Exactly.
And help some kids out.
And it's not too late to donate to Matt's campaign.
Yep.
And for every dollar you donate, you can request that he play 1 minute of any game of your choosing that is either free or that he already owns.
And we're going to be playing StarCraft with my brother Steve
on
Friday. So that's going to be Friday evening
Some point in the stream. Oh, very nice.
So yeah, we've been playing StarCraft 2 together for the past couple of weeks. So
yeah.
Well, that'll be fun. Good. So let's start with some rat news real quick. Gwen and Mary Jane are doing well. They were renamed. What was their name?
I think Raspberry and Currant or something like that. It was
It was it was
something Berry and Currant. I think it was Currant. Yeah. And remember those were our.
It was right. Yeah, it's Raspberry and Currant.
And those were our foster rats that just recently got adopted. The little girls who were very skittish, but they came around so
well. They've got two sisters now.
Yeah,
too.
Some old ladies. And it seems like each one of the little girls has made like a special friend with one of the older girls. And so it seems like they're one big happy family now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we love to hear that.
I was very happy to hear that.
Yeah, me too.
I put in some work with those girls.
Yes, you did. And you really got attached to them. So I'm really glad they have a good family and they're doing well.
Yeah.
And then we're going to get some new fosters on Sunday.
We're getting three boys. Did we get any details on what their story is?
I think they're about 6 months old. Mm-hmm. And apparently they came from a family that had kids that previously played with them a lot. But apparently they haven't gotten a lot of attention recently.
Yeah.
And so the family's giving them up.
Yeah, that's one of those things where, people seem to think that they're like, kids pets for some reason because they don't live that long, but like, don't give your kid a pet and then let him like just lose interest in it after a couple of months. Like,
I know,
what kind of lesson do you teach your kid if you can't even like teach them how to care for an animal when the excitement wears off?
I know, but also, you know what bothers me is that a lot of times people expect their kids to act like adults, and it's like, you know, a kid is still needs to be taught things.
Well,
and
yeah,
like, we don't even know what age these kids are who have the rats.
You're teaching your kid something by doing that.
Exactly.
You're saying that this animal is disposable and we can just get rid of it when we're no longer interested in it.
Exactly.
That's a terrible
It's a terrible lesson, but I think sometimes too parents expect the kids to care for the animals at an adult level that they're not ready for, you know?
Yeah, maybe. That's probably part of it. But it's like, I mean, all animals, like, you're not going to always be 100% into your animals all the time.
Exactly.
And you still have to care for them. You still have to give them what they need to thrive.
Which is love and attention.
I think that's a good part of, like, owning an animal.
Agree too.
Is like,
I agree with that.
It's not all about, like, getting love and affection from this animal. You're caring for something. And
right. It's actually
you're
about
doing
giving
something
love.
To the animal,
mm-hmm.
and you may not always get what you expect out of it, but mm-hmm. that's part of the experience of mm-hmm. having a pet. And like, it's one of the reasons I do it. And mm-hmm. it's like, you know, I'm not always like always wanting to play with the rats, but we try to do something with them every day. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, we still care for them and keep the cage clean. And mm-hmm. I'm up to cleaning it once a week now that we have so many.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I agree with that because I think a lot of people think about kids and pets that, oh, I'm going to get love from them. It's going to make me feel good. And actually, it's I think it's about giving love unselfishly when you don't feel like giving it, you know? Yeah. And it's really like you're there to care for the pet or for the child. They're not there to care for you and to meet your needs. You're there to meet their needs, you know?
Exactly.
So, yeah, because like there's a lot of times, trust me, like I'm tired in the evenings. And even though I love my ratties, I might not feel like sitting down and having a snuggle with them. But I really just force myself to do it anyway because I know how much it means to them, you know? And like, trust me, sometimes even our little darling precious kitten boo, he wants a lot of snuggles, and sometimes I'm just not in a snuggly mood, but I snuggle him anyway because he needs it, you know, and it's about him, it's not about me.
Yep.
Yeah. So anyway, we're getting these new fosters. Apparently they've been fairly well socialized at some point. We'll see how well they actually are when we get them, though.
We'll see. Either way, we'll work with them.
Yeah, we'll get them very adoptable. So yeah. If you're interested in the D.C., Maryland, Virginia area and three little boys who are pretty young,
yeah,
you know, it sounds like they'll be a good adoptable trio.
Yeah, and we always have a link to the adoptable rats from Small Angels on the Nerdy Rat. The top post has all the information.
So you can see who we got.
Yeah, and sadly we had to put Creesa down.
She was our one. She was our girl who we had just adopted not even that long ago from someone who was moving, and she just had her mammary tumor surgery, which healed up beautifully.
Yeah, she was doing really well, I thought, and then out of nowhere she just started hooting like crazy, like.
And it was it made me think it was the respiratory heart failure because tippy toe had sounded like that out of the blue.
Yeah, I think it's like congenital.
Congestive heart failure.
Heart failure where they get fluid in their lungs from that.
Yeah, because
they can't
really
do much.
It wasn't like, it wouldn't have come on so suddenly if it was respiratory. You know, it would have started
usually
more mild.
Usually they'll start with like sneezing.
Exactly.
And, you know.
Exactly.
This was like direct to.
It was
to,
like she couldn't breathe.
Yeah, it was like.
And then also when you got home, you found she had two new mammary tumors and they weren't even close to each other. So like that combined with what was going on with her.
That had just
she
happened.
She wouldn't have survived
over the past day or two. Because I remember I had just checked her not that long ago.
I know.
Because I was keeping an eye because I was worried about her getting more.
Well, it crushed me because she had been so healthy the day before. And then the next day it was like, oh, my God, we have to take her to get her put down in the morning. Like, we can't have her suffering. Oh, my God. I've really been struggling to lose her and to lose her so suddenly, too. Because, like, at least when they get older, like tippy toe, we could tell before she got the heart failure, she was aging, you know, in a natural way. She was starting to get a little less muscle tone and, you know, starting to look like an old lady. And Creesa was just so healthy and vibrant.
Yeah, and then
this happened. And our vet said sometimes, you know, this just happens with rats. And she was over 2 years old, so she was kind of, you know, getting up there for
a
rat.
Yeah, but she definitely didn't look elderly.
No, she didn't at all, which is why I felt so stunned because she still really looked like young and vibrant, you know.
Yeah.
God, I miss her. She was such a sweetie pie. We just put some videos up on the YouTube channel of her eating dinner.
We had just done that too.
I know. She was like being all happy and the other rats really did end up bonding with her quite a bit. I mean, she did have some squabbles here and there, but especially after her mammary surgery, they were all being so sweet to snuggle with her in the hammock, and I think she kind of calmed down a lot and got a lot sweeter with everybody. And she's always like a sweetheart, though, but sometimes she just liked to fight for dominance in the cage.
Yeah.
But, oh.
Well, we will definitely be missing her.
Yeah, I'm actually really glad we're getting some new fosters because that'll kind of help with the little hole in my heart.
Yeah.
Yeah. Give me some new ratties to pour some love into. And
well, that's the thing I really like about fostering, too, is you, with as short lives that they live, constantly we have new rats coming in that we're helping, and it's hard to give them up, but it's also
it is hard to give them
nice
up, but then we don't have to see them,
we don't have to watch them all pass.
So.
All right, well, also
that's kind of our rat news, right?
That's all of our specific
it's kind of like, you know, the updates in our cage.
We have some more animal stuff, though.
We do. You
so
had
IKEA,
something about IKEA. Yeah,
IKEA is releasing a line of pet items.
Yes,
which is looks really cool. Like they came out with a little bed that goes in the Klax
That's like a square shelving unit with like the little square bookshelf. Holes.
Yeah, it's I have like 8 of them in the house because they're great.
Well,
like,
I have to say they perfectly fit short comic book boxes. So well, they also perfectly like us,
fit records too.
Oh, records! You're right, records. So
a lot of people use them for like a lot of the audio files use them for records, and it's a little cat bed that goes in. Goes
it
in
like
the
fits
shelf.
Into a
yeah,
cube.
It fits in there perfectly. Yeah. Which is funny because like our cat, we always leave one empty because our cat will sleep in one.
Uh-huh. At the floor, at the floor level. We leave one on the floor level empty for him because
he
really likes
he'll,
it.
He'll claim one. Mm-hmm. I think he's pushed stuff out of ones before to get in there.
Yeah.
So
yeah, he's a silly
I thought that was pretty cool. And they got like a whole bunch of different
stuff.
They have
stuff like dog and cat stuff. Just some normal stuff like food bowls and stuff like that.
And
too,
it's all really, really cheap too. Yeah, like I think nice that thing bed I was talking about that goes in the closet, it was like $6
or
something.
That's a really nice thing about IKEA. Oh, they have like a cat litter scoop for 79 cents, I see.
Yeah,
like,
everything they have is super, super cheap.
That's
like
really
they've got
nice.
And they've
some
got
scratching mats.
Yeah, and they've got like a really nice like bed. Like the Lurvig.
Oh,
did
yeah.
You see that?
I see that. It actually looks like an actual
like
bed.
Like a little bed, yeah.
Yeah, it's like a little wooden bed with a little cushion
in it. We should get one of those for Kitten and put them in the
bedroom. I know, but that one's actually expensive. That one's like $38.
It's $25.
Well, there's another one that's $38.
Well, the one I'm
maybe
looking at right
bigger
now is $25.
So they probably have two sizes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I like the one that looks like the little couch. Do you see the black one that looks like the little couch? Right.
Well, that's one that's $50, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
See, yeah, I don't know about
but it's a futon for dogs.
Oh, it folds out?
Yeah, look.
Oh, I can't.
Oh, yeah. Did you not look at the. I'm
I
looking at the website.
It.
So it's like a futon, and the front of it pulls out like a real futon.
That seems a little unnecessary.
I don't know.
Well, we don't even have a dog. Well, so anyway, Kitten might be getting some new stuff soon after we go to IKEA again.
Oh, I see the one that you were talking about for $40. Yeah, it's a little bit nicer.
Yeah. So, you know, nice stuff at IKEA. That's always fun. Now you can spoil your pet as well as yourself.
Yeah, now you can
drop more money on stuff you
don't
really
need. You can make him a
little
room and furnish it with.
Do you know what I've seen some people do is like they have one of those little tiny closets under the stairs. And I've seen people like put a little cat door in that and make like a whole little bedroom
for their
animals
in there.
I've seen people on YouTube.
Like I think Jenna Marbles did a video where she made a little room under the stairs for her dog.
Yeah.
And she even like put lights in it and everything.
Oh, yeah,
and, like,
exactly. That's exactly what I'm thinking about. So, yeah. So now you could totally go to town and like make your pet a little IKEA room all of their own in a little tiny space just for them.
I just saw that. I thought it was really
cool. That's pretty cute. Yeah. Well, and then what I saw is a little article in the Washington Post, which I personally think is fantastic news. Other people might not think so. D.C. is one of the country's most rat-infested cities. To that, I say, hooray!
Yeah. I always thought that was cool. Good job, D.C. You see rats all over the place when you if you just walk around at night.
Uh-huh.
Like you'll see them running around by buildings and stuff. Like
now, most people probably wouldn't be going, "Aw," but I'm like, "Aw, listen to me. We are such nerdy rats." I'm like, "Baby, we should go take a late night date in D.C. and walk around in the moonlight and see the rats."
Yeah. Well, there's a park that I drive by on the way home. They see rats running across all the time.
That's awesome.
And
I love it. Now, I guess other people don't love it because they can get into your houses
like,
and stuff.
Well, like my mom had a problem at her house where they got in her yard and stuff, and she ended up getting exterminated. I was like, don't tell me about it. Don't tell me about it. Whatever you're going to do.
I know. We don't want to know.
But
we don't want to know.
So, like, if you are worried about wild rats, the best thing you can do is to remove any food sources from around your house and patch up any holes that might let them get
like
into
walk
your
around the exterior of your house and make sure there's not any holes. Cause they can get in the article said they can get in a hole as small as a quarter.
Yeah. And I mean, rats really go where the food is. So if you have food in your yard, like seeds, bird feeders, stuff like that, like, and you think you might be getting rats, get rid of that stuff and they'll go somewhere else.
Look for food. And let me on that say some of my friends had made their own compost bin in their yard and they got rats. What they ended up having to do was take all the compost out and line the bottom with that hard chicken mesh so that the rats couldn't get through
they
it. Not the big
dig
stuff.
Into it.
Yeah, not the big stuff because they were coming in underneath and coming up from the bottom is what they were doing.
So
they had to line the bottom. And so when we build our compost bin, that's what I'm going to do. So you have to get the real hard mesh, not the kind with like the big the big flexible kind, but the hard kind. And yeah, they had to like hammer that into the bottom. And once they did that, they didn't have any more rats in the compost bin.
Yeah.
And I think you can use it on the top too. And you just have to then make sure that the walls are really secure and there's no other place for them to get in.
Cool.
Yeah. So, you know, some of you might be horrified, but if you're listening to this podcast, you probably like rats. So you're not. Yeah. Except for shout out to Steven, who's not even listening to this segment, because he told — that's Matt's brother. He told us that he skips the rat segment because he doesn't own rats. And he just goes straight to the nerdy segment. So, Steven, we're talking about you and you're not even going to hear it.
I was thinking about that. Section. I might start posting like the end of the — like just say the nerdy section starts at, and then give like a timestamp.
That wouldn't be so bad. Yeah. We'll try to appeal to a broader audience. That's right.
So we we started with — let's move on to the nerdy
stuff. Nerdy section. Timestamp, nerdy stuff.
So that is —
that's right.
15:45.
All right.
So we've seen two episodes now of the new Flash season, which started 3 weeks ago. We've got one episode that we haven't seen.
But, oh, we do. Oh, we're going to watch that tomorrow.
One came out on Wednesday.
Oh, okay. So that's today.
Or last night. So that's Tuesday. It airs Tuesday night. And it unlocks for us
like
on Wednesday.
At midnight?
Yeah. Oh, like at 3 in the morning it unlocks. Okay. It's like midnight specific.
All right. So anyway, we're doing the podcast instead of watching Flash. I hope you all appreciate the sacrifice we're making for you.
I'm feeling good about this season so far.
I like it so far.
I like the – so I guess the villain is the Thinker, which my brother had to tell me that. I didn't know who – he looks like a Borg or something.
Yeah, he does kind of look like a Borg.
And it kind of makes sense because when he first appears, he's like, let me think about it.
Yeah. So apparently that's one of the main Flash villains is what Steven was telling us from the comics.
Yeah, that's cool. It'll be nice to see some more traditional Flash. Like,
yeah,
always
that's what I was
going to
say.
Have traditional Flash villains, but it's always, it seems to have been like different variations of Reverse Flash, basically.
Yeah, so that's what I think is good, that they're dipping a little bit deeper into the comics for inspiration.
Like,
so I'm hopeful about that.
Have a villain that doesn't have the Speed Force.
Exactly. Exactly. But so far I'm kind of liking the new season. I think it's going to be interesting to see how it unfolds. You know, it's obvious they're going to do some more with Caitlin with her freeze girl, whatever she's called. What's her freeze person
Caitlin
called?
Killer Frost.
Killer Frost. Yes, Killer Frost.
I'm liking her Jekyll and Hyde kind of thing.
Yeah, so it seems like really what they did is give her dissociative identity disorder with her meta skills, where it's like she can't control her switches. So that's very interesting that she's able to be Caitlin completely at some points, and then she switches completely to Killer Frost.
Yeah, I kind of like that. So, I think that they could do some really cool stuff with that.
Yeah, I think that's a good solution to the issue of her getting her skills permanently. Yeah. So I think, I agree. I think there's some good potential for that.
And I think they're going to, I'm hoping they're going to break the mold of past seasons, because they're already revealing the villain real early as to who it is, instead of like doing this mystery thing for the first half of the season.
Oh, like, who is it? We don't know. Oh, yeah. I see. Yeah. So maybe that'll
be
different.
I keep waiting for HR to show up because they got Tom Cavanaugh in the credits.
Okay.
But
now,
he hasn't been in the first two episodes.
You don't think he's the Thinker, do you? Like, with a lot of makeup on? Because it doesn't look like him at all.
No, it doesn't look like him.
Yeah, well, I'm hoping he'll come up in the next episode or so. Yeah, especially because he's already been the villain once. Yeah, I hope he'll be there soon. I'm glad his name's still in the credits, and I feel like it probably won't be too long before they get some version of him back.
I'm sure.
It might be the Earth 2 one again.
It'll probably be HR. I'm sure we'll see, Jesse Quick come back, too.
Yeah.
But I'm liking it.
I like the little storyline with Cisco and Gypsy having like a real relationship now, and like,
yeah, that was —
and you know what, I actually really liked how they did it with the realism of him saying at the end, like, you know what, we're always dealing with bad guys and I am sometimes going to have to cancel at the last minute, but I liked how he said, but I will always make it up to you, because I was like, well, that's very realistic. It's not like, oh no, I'm going to put my life on hold for you when we have a meta villain to chase, you know.
Yeah,
so I thought that was like a very sweet way to handle it.
It's nice to see Cisco's character actually being happy.
Yeah, and like getting like a permanent girlfriend instead of just being constantly single and miserable. Like, not that those two have to go together.
Last
season,
he kind of had it rough because point, like in the future, he lost his hands and his brother died because of Flashpoint, and he was all angry.
Now he still has lost his brother because they're still in the Flashpoint.
Well, the
thing, right?
They, well, yeah,
he didn't undo that.
Yeah, that didn't change.
When did he lose his hands? I forget about that.
There's in the episode where he went to the future.
Oh.
And it was like, Killer Frost.
Oh, that's right. When he met the Future Flash, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah. Yeah, but so far it seems hopeful. So we're going to cross our fingers that it continues to be good. We're still waiting for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. to start on Hulu. I don't know if it started on the network yet, but Hulu always seems to get it weeks and weeks late.
Yeah, well, I think Hulu runs like 5 or 6 weeks late on everything.
No, it's interesting because
that's what they did with Ink Masters.
But some shows they get the same week, like the dance one. What's the one? Now I'm thinking of the British.
Oh yeah, the ones that nobody care about.
A lot of people care about that dance one, and that's actually why they get it.
Dancing with the Stars.
Dancing with the Stars. Yeah, that's why they get it the same week. They get it after the voting period is closed, but they get it the same week. So I think it kind of just depends. Like if it's a reality show, they might tend to get it sooner because they don't necessarily want people to get spoilers, I guess. But so we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. So let's see.
We have some Halloween gaming things to talk about.
Yeah. You want to talk about your.
Yes. And then you can talk about yours. So
your gardenscapes.
I have mentioned my little match 3-game gardenscapes many times. Homescapes, the spinoff, continues to struggle.
We should have like a deal with them at this point.
I know, right? They should be our sponsor. Gardenscapes, be our sponsor. Give me unlimited lives forever. But so I really like that the Gardenscapes, which is the good one, has a little Halloween decoration event going on right now. So every time you beat a level, you earn Halloween coins. I think they're called like pumpkin coins or something. And then they have a whole little catalog of Halloween items you can buy to decorate your garden with the pumpkin coins. And the cool thing is, it's like in this game, you can always upgrade your garden items between 3 different things, and you can switch back and forth between the 3 different things. Well, this is like a permanent extra thing that you can buy for your garden. So once you've earned it, you get to keep it forever, even after the event is over.
It's not a Halloween only thing.
Exactly. But you only have through Halloween to earn the items. So if you don't get them before Halloween, you won't be able to earn them again.
That's like a lot of games do that now.
I like it. I think it adds a whole extra layer of fun. And the decorations are really pretty cool. Like Austin lives in this mansion, and you can like decorate the whole front of the mansion with like pumpkins. And I got like this spooky forest that looks like it's out of Wizard of Oz to put like on the border of the garden. And like it's just fun. I'm having a good time with it.
Yeah, Overwatch does something similar where they have like they've got skins that you can only get during Halloween.
They have Christmas ones, right?
They have events for all the different holidays.
Oh, that's cool. Well, I hope Gardenscapes is going to start doing that.
Yeah.
Now tell us about World of Warcraft, because there's something you're trying to get.
I've been playing World of Warcraft, and they have the Halloween event every year, and there's a bunch of stuff. There's costumes you can buy, there's like items you can get that are like cosmetic that you can use to change your character and stuff. But the Headless Horseman mount has been something that I've been trying to get since the event started, which is I think it's like over 10 years.
Oh no.
So basically, and they only run it for 2 weeks a year.
Yeah.
They don't even run it for the whole month.
So
basically to get the Headless Horseman mount, which is just, it's like a fiery flying horse, but I've always wanted it and I've never gotten it because you only can get the thing once a day on a character that's over like a level. Right now it's level 100, but normally it's like whatever the max level is, are the only ones that can do
so
it.
So you only have the opportunity to get it because like an item drops.
So it's like,
right? It's like,
so I've
you
got
the
like,
daily quest.
I've got like 4 or 5 characters over level 100 that can do it.
Oh.
So I do it on all those characters every day.
Oh.
But the drop percentage of it out of because it you get like a little reward box and you open it.
Uh-huh.
It's got either a bunch of junk or the mount.
Oh.
But the drop percentage is like
0.05%
or something
like
that.
Oh, that's crazy.
So like in theory, if the percentage is correct, which I don't think it is, I think it's lower. If you did it over 200 times, you should get one. But it's RNG. So with RNG, if you're unlucky, you could never get it.
Exactly.
And I've been doing it for, I think there's a couple of years that where I may not have been subscribed to WoW when October came around, but it was only like one or two. And I've been doing it like every year, and I've never gotten the stupid mount.
Goodness,
a lot
gracious.
Of my friends have gotten it, but it's
No. Well, I hope you get it this year, babe.
Well, I did it on one character right before we started, and I didn't get it. So it's like the more you do it, the more...
Right, the more you complete the depressed, daily quest.
Well, just like...
Oh, the more depressed you get because
you don't get it. The more depressed you get because you don't get it.
That's how I feel with Homescapes, because Homescapes has no strategy to it whatsoever. You're just waiting for lucky drops to happen.
Well, that's my whole problem with these games that are like...
Well, Gardenscapes is strategy. That's why I love it.
Loot boxes in general.
Yeah.
Because like basically, if you're unlucky, you will never get something, and there's no other way to get it, even though I've been playing this game.
Yeah, that really sucks.
12, 13 years since it started. I bought World of Warcraft the day after it came out. Like,
and you've never gotten it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is very frustrating.
Like, even if you give me something that requires me to play the game for 1,000 hours.
Yeah.
That's better than like, hope you randomly get it one time.
Right. I agree with that.
Yeah. Somebody was like, oh, this guy got it on his third time. It's like, I would kick that person out of the guild and never want to talk to them again. So... we're going to see, we've talked about this before, but we're going to see Count Gordeval
on Saturday,
Silver Spring at the AFI.
He's the creature feature host who's been on local public access for like 30 years, literally.
And now every Halloween he'll do one of these. He's doing a double feature. It's going to be I Was a Teenage Werewolf and American Werewolf in London. Have you
now,
seen
those,
either
I
of those?
I have not. Are they like from the 60s or 70s? They're early.
They're like 70s.
They're not recent ones.
They're 70s, 60s or 70s.
I have not seen either
I know American Werewolf was like 70s. And I Was
in
a
London,
Teenage
though?
Werewolf might have been... Yeah, American Werewolf in London was like 70s.
Oh, okay.
And I Was a Teenage Werewolf.
Now, are these two related from the same series, or do they just happen to both be werewolf movies?
I don't think
movies?
So. Oh, so I Was a Teenage Werewolf is 1957. So
57?
That one,
oh, cool. Yeah. See, we are actually going to discuss our favorite Halloween movies this episode. I love the vintage monster movies. Like, to me, there's nothing better than... Actually, I usually watch older ones than the 50s, but... So I'm excited to see these. I think it'll be a lot of fun.
So American Werewolf in London is 81.
Oh, so okay. So we'll have like a real different compare
and
contrast.
Yeah, it's a pretty well-known movie. I don't know how I've never seen it.
Oh, you haven't? So you've never seen either of
them? Yeah, I've never seen either.
Oh, good. So it'll be like two new ones for both of us.
I'm generally a big fan of Halloween horror movies, but somehow... Yeah. I guess it came out like right before, like after I was born. And
that 81, yeah.
It's like I've heard it's a good movie, but it's not like people play it a lot.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I'm excited because Gordeval tends to do movies that I can tolerate because I don't watch anything with demons. I don't watch anything slasher or too gory. Yeah. So it's hard for us to find Halloween movies that we can compromise on. So it's always
It's hard for us to find Halloween movies that you want to watch.
Exactly.
I'll watch anything.
Well, that's what I said compromise on. Because I'm not willing to watch a lot of the same movies that Matt likes, especially when it's Halloween related.
I'll stay up late and watch them.
Yes,
on my
he
own.
Will. And sometimes he puts his headphones on and watches them, which is also a good way to do it.
So, what are your favorite Halloween movies?
Well, I really like the one we watched last year, which was Goosebumps, the new Goosebumps movies with Jack Black, and it was based on the series of books, which of course I never read because they horrified me. But the movie I thought looked cute, and since I like Jack Black, I thought it looked more silly, and it was. It was more silly than scary. I was surprised at how well done it was. We watched it together.
I mean,
what did you think about it?
It was fun. Like I think maybe you were a little bit more impressed with it than I was. I mean, I thought it was a cute little movie. Like,
well, I was impressed with it because a lot of times I feel like movies that are for kids absolutely suck. Like, I just feel like they get the tone completely wrong.
Well, I think a lot of times is what happens is they'll put out a movie and they think because it's for kids, they don't have to like make a quality movie.
Exactly.
I generally never see those movies, so I don't
I don't
talk about them much.
No.
You know,
but like the dialogue was smart and funny. Like it was just a smart, funny movie.
Yeah, no, it was well done. It's a good movie to take your younger kids to.
Yeah. Or if you like Jack Black, I think you would enjoy it.
Yeah. Jack Black was pretty good.
He was really hilarious. So
yeah,
I like that aspect. But a lot of the movies I really like are like the vintage monster movies. Like some of my favorites.
Well, you like the classic Universal horror.
Universal is what it was. Yes. Now, I haven't seen all of them, but like I like the Dracula with Bela Lugosi. Well, I like Frankenstein.
There's a lot of
them. There's the Invisible Man, which I haven't seen. Last year, Count Gore did Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein, and I loved it. I thought it was so funny.
Yeah, that one was really cool. We had to leave before the second one because it was actually on Halloween.
Yeah, and we wanted to get home to do the trick-or-treaters. So. Yeah,
because we get a lot of trick-or-treaters.
We do. But I loved it. But my absolute favorite ones are the Christopher Lee Dracula movies, which the reason why I like them so much is the costumes and the scenery and the sets are just so incredible. It's like so vintage gothic. Like completely dramatic, completely like Victorian. And I just love the styling of it so much. Like I feel like I could just sketch scenes out of it because I love it so much. Now I have to say like the one we bought a 4-pack of the Christopher Lee movies because it was probably like a couple dollars. And really, I bought it.
We saw one of them in the theater, like we did. Blood of Dracula or something.
Yeah, we did see one in the theater. I think the one we saw in the theater was the original Dracula story. Right?
And
then we watched the one on DVD.
I think it was a sequel. It wasn't the original.
Was it a sequel? I thought it was the original one because he had that girl Lucy who he was like going after. I thought she was from the actual book.
She was from the original, but yeah, I think it might have been based on that. Yeah.
But so we watched that one and then we got a 4-pack. Now, I have to say, I was not pleased that the one we watched out of the 4-pack, they were actually doing like demonic satanic rites in it and crap like that. Yeah. So I didn't like that aspect, but they moved past that pretty quickly and I could get back to my costumey, melodramatic Victorian scenery that I loved. So. Yeah. And I like Christopher Lee. He's a very good Dracula, I think. He's like very suave and kind of like seductively mysterious.
Yeah, he's so cool.
He's like, not too cheesy, you know? He's more dramatic, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely I could see that.
Yeah. Those are some of my favorites.
Although all of, like Bela Lugosi was pretty good.
I like Bela Lugosi too. I think he's like a different style. So I like him for being him and I like Christopher Lee for being Christopher Lee.
Right.
Yeah. But I would definitely love to see more of the Universal ones. So I hope we can find some more of those and see more of those at some point.
Yeah, my problem is I really like horror movies. So when I start thinking about like what my favorite Halloween type movie is, it's like there's so many different ones.
You can talk
ones,
about it. It's not going to freak me out for you to talk about it. So you go ahead and talk about it.
I'm just saying it's hard because there's so many.
Oh, it's hard to pick. I see.
I think some of my favorite. Movies I like to watch around Halloween time. I like the Halloween series with the Mike Myers,
right? Yeah, okay.
I really like those because I feel like the atmosphere, especially the first two, is really good and creepy.
Oh, okay.
And I don't know. I just always like Michael Myers over like Jason or Freddy.
Okay.
Because I feel like he was more, more serious. I don't know if I want to say serious, but like more menacing, I think. Was he more realistic? Yeah, I think Jason always came across to me as a little cartoony.
Oh, okay.
Because like the hockey mask and all, where Michael Myers was just like a stone cold killer. Like, you know.
Yeah, that does sound
just force of nature.
Like too
over.
Realistic. Because.
Well, he's just realistic enough where it's like. He's imposing and scary, but not like so much that it's like becomes depressing, I guess.
Right. Okay.
Too realistic.
Oh, okay.
I just really like the mood of the movies, really, and the overall story. Now, if the new ones that Rob Zombie did, the first one was okay, and the second one was terrible.
Okay.
So don't watch those. But like the first two Halloween movies, are some of my all-time favorite horror movies. Right. The other ones would probably be any of the Living Dead series, like Dawn of the Dead or Night of the Living Dead are my two favorite. So watching either of those around Halloween is really good.
Mm-hmm.
But I like almost all the horror stories. You know, like
you do,
like
yeah.
Nightmare on Elm Street.
Mm-hmm.
I do like Friday the 13th series, and I feel they are really good for like they're just kind of like campy They like started out, what you're in they the started out serious, but then
yeah,
they quickly became campy and they became self-aware really fast too.
Oh, well, that's always nice when a movie's kind of like in on the joke.
Yeah. Well, they kind of got that pretty early because
that's nice.
It, you know.
Yeah.
Let's see. What else? What did I write?
Do you have any others down? You didn't have any on your list.
Yeah.
Now, what are some that we've watched together besides the Living Dead ones? Like, what kind of zombie? What other zombie movies? We've seen a couple zombie movies together. Remember?
Well, we still have more of the Living Dead series to watch because we've got Diary of the Dead, which is like a found footage kind of one that's shot that way. It's really cool. Like, I really like that one. Then there's one before that where it's like Land of the Dead wasn't as good as the other ones.
Okay.
It wasn't as good as Diary, but I don't know.
I like zombie movies, but I'm trying to think, like, what are some really good ones that I've seen? Because, like, Resident Evil, I'm kind of meh about.
The
honestly.
First Resident Evil was okay. The
and
second
I've never
one,
seen it the whole
I was
kind of
eh. And after that, the series just, I remember watching, like, it must have been like the fourth the Resident Evil.
Yeah. And I
where it's like
that far.
It got to like one of the action sequences and I was just like, this is too much now.
Yeah.
Like this is just it's dumb. Like it was kind of cool in the first couple ones, but by the time you're doing the fourth one, it's like it was so over the top unrealistic. And it's like he takes himself so seriously in these action sequences where he's got like this long, like drawn out slow motion scene of him like doing something that looks kind of meh.
Yeah.
Like action, like she's doing like a backflip. It's in like super slow-mo.
Yeah.
And it's just like,
well,
that impressive.
Did you know that the director is her husband?
Oh yeah.
So Paul, I think he's a little enamored with
Paul
his wife.
Paul W. Anderson or whatever his name
he's
is.
He's a little I think some of that is like you need an editor who's going to be like, "Look, man, I get that you're into your wife, but
they just need to like stop letting him make movies cuz he's just like he's like not good, but he's like he comes across as like being full of himself.
Mhm.
And just in the way he makes the movies, and it's just like too much. And it's just like so much is going on. Like they'll introduce like 30 characters, kill off 15 of them, and then next movie they'll bring half of those back. It's just
really? And see, that's why I stopped watching.
It's like the daytime drama of horror movies.
Well, like because the second one I was watching, and I'm like, well, I can enjoy this if I say to myself, no one's gonna live except the girl. Who's the hero, you know? And if I can say to myself, all right, don't get attached to anybody because they're all going to die, then I can just kind of enjoy it for what it is.
Well,
but if I'm trying to actually like get into it, well,
like,
I am not excited about it.
In the fifth movie, he's bringing back dead characters from
that
the first movie.
That is like a soap opera.
And it's like you forget what's going on. Yeah. Like you'd have to sit down and rewatch them because it's all such nonsense anyways.
Yeah.
It's just like...
I like the character of Alice, but I didn't...
We
like
didn't need
did
six
the
of them. That's the problem. Yeah. We don't need six of these movies.
Yeah.
Two, fine. Three, you're pushing it.
Yeah.
Six, come on.
Yeah, that's a lot.
And I think it's one of those things where it's just like the foreign market picks it up because they like big action movies and they don't really care about plot that much.
Well,
some of these
if
markets
it's a cash
because,
cow for him.
Because they're usually
know.
Dubbed anyways for them.
Oh, okay.
But it's
well,
like,
and you know, and like if it's a cash cow and like, you know, the thing is it's Mila Jovovich
well,
is his wife.
It's
so.
Only a cash cow in other countries. And
yeah,
I don't
but,
think
I mean,
in America it does
cow.
Very well.
But if net worth, it's a cash cow. Net, it's a cash cow. Then he's going to keep making them, you know?
Well, that's how they've let him made so many.
Well, exactly. Yeah. But what are some other good kind of middle ground scary movies we've
middle
watched?
Ground.
Middle ground. I'm trying to think. Like,
I'm trying to think. We talked about all the Universal ones that we saw. The Dracula.
Yeah, we already talked about this. There was that Will Smith zombie one, but that made me so sad because
which
he killed
that?
His dog.
Oh, yeah. I Am
he
Legend.
He had to kill his dog.
Yeah.
Was it I Am Legend?
Yeah.
Is that what it was?
Yeah,
okay.
It was I Am Legend, which is a very different story from the original story.
Apparently. Oh, really?
Like, originally, they weren't zombies. They were, like, vampires.
Oh.
And they were, like, intelligent, I think.
Are you sure that wasn't a different movie, or was that
no,
movie?
No, I mean, it's the original book that the movie's based off of.
Okay.
It was like they were vampires. And there was another movie that they made based off it, too, called, like, I Am Omega or something, like,
oh,
from
really?
The 50s or 60s.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I wasn't happy with how that movie ended, either, because... like, it just didn't make a lot of sense.
The original ending of the book is that basically he realizes, like, because, like, the new society is all the people that have, like, transformed into vampires or whatever.
Oh.
And the reason it's called I Am Legend is because he has now become the monster because he's killing all the normal people. So he is now, like, the last person on Earth. So that's why it's called
I Am
Legend.
And, like, they have an actual society and stuff like that?
Yeah, they're, like, intelligent.
Oh,
and they're,
that would be a fascinating movie. Like, just stick to the book because I think that would be amazing.
They had to turn into Hollywood nonsense.
I know.
Did you ever see World War Z?
I did not see that.
Yeah,
no.
with Brad Pitt.
No, I have it in my queue for forever on Netflix, but I've never
really no need.
Geared
it,
up to watch it.
If you really want, read the book. The book
is the book pretty good?
Is amazing. Oh. It's like the book is set up. It's like every chapter is like a different story, basically.
Oh, okay.
And it's like all these. It's like it's written kind of from the war with the zombies is over,
uh-huh.
and this guy is going back and putting together this book of, like, different stories of things that happened during
the
war
cool.
against the zombies.
Oh.
And there's so many cool stories in there.
Oh, that sounds really cool.
It would make a really good series because each chapter is, like, a really interesting story. Like,
there's
this whole chapter about these people that maintain, like, underground undersea, like, communication cables and stuff.
Oh, okay.
And they're dealing with zombies underwater.
Oh, neat.
And then there's another one about this guy who's, like, trapped on the space station during the whole thing.
Oh, interesting. This is the problem with Hollywood is that they don't respect writers because, like, that sounds amazing. And if they had just stuck with something like that and made, like, a miniseries
And the thing was, like, the movie had nothing to do with the book at all.
Yeah.
Like, there's literally, they used not even the zombies didn't even behave the same way
as they did in the
book.
That was my problem with iRobot because the iRobot books are amazing. They are so good.
Philip Dick, right?
No, iRobot is Isaac Asimov.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, and, like, there's a whole series of iRobot books. And it's really cool because the iRobot books, they all have these three laws that the robots have to follow. But it's almost like Agatha Christie mysteries because it's like, it's kind of like short stories. And in each one, it's like, it seems like there's this insoluble puzzle, like, how did this happen given that the robot has to obey the three laws and can't break the three laws,
right?
And there is always a way that something that you never would have thought of, that the robot was able to keep the three laws and still do the crazy inexplicable thing. It is really cool. I really,
like,
loved
in the movie they just, like, oh,
it's just again Hollywood,
like,
BS.
Oh, we just broke the rules because
the movie was just, I mean, it was an okay movie, but it wasn't really that great as far as, like, intellectually stimulating.
Yeah,
and as far as, like, following the whole core of what made the book so awesome.
Yeah.
I really like
the
iRobot
books. You never really watched, The Twilight Zone?
Oh, I've watched some of them, but they scare me. We'll have to watch them together if we're going
to
watch them because they creep me out. Like,
we'll
worse than Doctor Who.
We'll have to watch the original 50s one.
Yeah. Oh, those are the ones I like. But, like, worse than Doctor Who, do they creep me out. They are so freaky. Like, I love it.
A lot of them are really
scary.
Creepy. Like,
they are.
Like,
oh, my gosh. They
I mean,
are
I like
so
all those series,
scary.
Too. Like, Tales from the Crypt.
I saw Tales from the Crypt. That's probably more spooky.
Yeah, that's more like demons and stuff.
Oh, no. But will you go watch Twilight Zone? Because Twilight Zone, I love. Like, I saw that one, I don't know if you've seen it, where this old lady is, like, won't open her door to anybody and she won't go outside because she knows death is going to come for her. But then this young man gets her outside her door and she lets him in. And it's Robert Redford, actually, before he was famous. And it's so freaking creepy. And then the guy turns out to be death. And he comes for her and he takes her. But it actually
spoiler
is, like, a little
alert.
Bit more peaceful. Spoiler alert. Sorry. Spoiler alert. He's death. But no, I like all of them. Like, there's this horrifying one where this man and his woman were driving home drunk, which you should never drink and drive, kids, because this is what's going to happen to you.
But in the 50s, it was okay, apparently.
Well, no, this is what happens to you. They were driving home drunk. Something happened, and they're running around in this little ghost town where, like, nothing works, and they keep hearing this crazy laughter, like, above their heads. And it's, like, so completely freaky. Should I give a spoiler and say what it was?
Were they dead?
No, like an alien child has picked them up and they're in like a dollhouse for the alien.
Oh, that's so
they
creepy.
Got abducted by aliens, and it was like the alien parent bought them as little pets for his kid. Oh,
so they're like, they were like ratties.
They were like ratties, yeah, but like it, in a terrifying way. So that's why you shouldn't drink and drive. Yeah, so you and don't after get a couple of months, aliens.
Did they get given up too? And
oh yeah, I know, right? Oh, we're bored with it. Probably he was probably like, oh, my kid doesn't play with these little humans anymore.
Go to a
anymore.
Foster alien.
Yeah, let's go to a small foster
human
alien.
Small human rescue. Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Seriously, but yeah, I love it, like the old school like that.
Yeah, we'll have to watch.
We should, because I think Twilight Zone is on Netflix. It was on Netflix, but you know how they take things on and off. But we'll have see if it is still on Netflix. Then we could definitely watch that. I would love that.
Yeah.
Oh, and speaking of classic black and white TV, I recently forced Matt to subscribe to BritBox, which
you subscribe to BritBox.
Yes, but it's our money, so it's our money, so now it's coming out of our budget. But it's only $7 a month. But they are the only site that has the classic Doctor Who episodes on streaming.
Yeah, now you can watch them all.
And I am just on one with the Doctor, the first Doctor. I'm still on the first Doctor, where the Daleks have actually just built their time machine and declared eternal war on the Doctor and the human race. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh my God, this is history in the making right here. This is where it all gets started. This is where the time war starts. Like, this is it.
Yeah.
So it's very exciting. Now, this is not the first episode with the Daleks, but it's the first one where, like, they've built their time machine and now the time war is going to start. Yeah. So I'm very excited to see what happens. Now, I can only tolerate watching like one 30-minute episode at a time because they are a little slow and you kind of need to, you know, pace yourself.
Yeah.
And what they are is they're like 6-episode miniseries.
Yeah, because they're all serials.
Right. It's like a 6-episode serial of like 30-minute episodes. So I can really pretty much only take one at a time. But
yeah, they're pretty tough. When we
they're
watched,
getting better, though.
When we watched that movie that was like all 6 of them together, it was
that
like
was
2 hours
hard.
And 20 minutes long.
That was hard.
I felt exhausted at the end
I
of
know.
That.
I know. That was the one I think
it's
we
just,
talked about
the
in
pacing
another
is so slow. It's like...
And it's okay for like one or maybe two, but then you really need a break.
They'll have like a minute long shot of a door opening and somebody walking in.
Yeah.
And you're like,
oh. And you know what? I used to really like Alfred Hitchcock.
Alfred Hitchcock is amazing.
Oh, isn't
Some
he
of
amazing?
My favorite.
Like just his cinematography, because that's what reminded me of that. Because he will do like those slow shots and it's so creepy where like just the door opens or just the light shines.
Oh,
and...
yeah. Like one of my, well, I don't think it was Hitchcock, but like one of my favorite, what were we talking? The
Hitchcock favorite Halloween movies?
No, the series that we were talking, Twilight Zone.
Twilight Zone
is the one with Shatner where he's on the plane and he sees something on the wing.
Oh, I think I've seen that one.
Yeah, and it's like something's like chewing on the wing, and he's like, and they end up like restraining him and whatever.
Yeah, that's creepy. That is really creepy.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite episodes.
Yeah, that is a really horrifying one. But, you know, no, wait, you made it go out of my head. You were talking about the Twilight Zone. We were talking about
movies. You were talking about Alfred Hitchcock's and the birds.
Oh, Alfred Hitchcock. You know, my favorite one is Vertigo. Have you ever seen Vertigo?
I think so. It's probably a long time ago. I don't remember it. Maybe I haven't. I've seen
Vertigo,
South by Southwest. I've seen
the birds. Yeah, that's not my favorite as far as creepiness goes. The birds is okay, but you know, I'm a little off the birds and off Alfred Hitchcock now because I found out like he sexually harassed the women who worked for him. Like he sexually harassed Tippi Hedren, and he actually was supposed to use like fake birds with her in the scene, and he used real birds and almost gave her a nervous breakdown. And I just, you know, knowing, and multiple women have come forward about the harassment, and it just kind of gives me a bad taste in my mouth. But I still love his movies, so I don't know. But
well,
Vertigo.
Isn't he dead, though?
He is dead.
So, there's that.
Well, there's that. But Vertigo is, like, to me, that's one of the ones that's the most mysterious out of all of them. Because it's such a mystery. There's this guy who obviously has problems with dizziness. And it's just, like, this guy's wife is acting strangely. And he wants this guy to figure out why his wife is acting so strangely. And I'm not going to give spoilers for this one because if you haven't seen Vertigo, you do not want spoilers for
I haven't
this.
Seen it, so don't spoil it.
No, I'm not
going to
spoil it. It. Just the ending.
We'll have to watch
the ending
watch
literally
it.
Made me scream out loud. I'll watch it with you because I really do like it. Like, yeah. The ending literally made me just gasp in horror. Like, it was so mind-blowing. But he's done so many that I like. He's done... Well, Psycho, of course. I actually wrote a college paper on Psycho for my femme fatale class I took for French.
Mm-hmm. Femme fatale?
Uh-huh.
He's
and you
a
know,
guy.
Yeah, but do you know who the femme fatale was?
Who? Oh, was it the... No, who?
It was Norman Bates' mom who was inside Norman Bates. Norman Bates was his mother, so he was the femme fatale.
Okay.
Yes. He was the one killing everybody off. So anyway, I loved the artistry of that one. And Rebecca was a good one. That one was kind of creepy, but not
Yeah,
too
I haven't creepy. Even I haven't even seen as many as you have.
Oh, I've seen a lot. The, I used to classics. Be really I used to be really really into Hitchcock like in my early 20s, and I watched a lot of them. And actually when
he's
I was
a really good filmmaker.
Oh,
so
he's so good. It's so artistic. And when I was in Paris in college, I was doing a study abroad. They had a special exhibit on Alfred Hitchcock at the Modern Art Museum there, and they had props, like they had the most iconic props from each one of
well,
his movies.
I don't know if they still have it, but they've got an interactive Hitchcock thing at Universal
oh,
with the 3D
I've been
birds
there when I was in college. Yeah, yes, I remember that.
That was really cool.
That was so fun. I know they've redone so much at Universal. I don't know if they still have it, but I loved that. Yeah, that was really cool.
Yeah.
I remember that. And I remember how they showed like the rubber knife that they used in Psycho.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do remember that. So that's a good creepiness. That's some good creepy movies.
Yeah,
there.
I just love Halloween. I love horror movies.
I know you
so
do. I know.
It's my favorite. That's why I do Extra Life during like right around Halloween mm-hmm. because I like
it's
to
like
do
your
it
favorite
with the
time. Yeah.
With the creepy Halloween music and stuff.
Oh, that's
and
cool. Yeah.
Let's see. I haven't decided which games I'm gonna play.
What are you considering?
Well, I mean, I've been playing a lot of Warcraft, so uh-huh. I might play a little bit of that, but I'll probably try and play something a little bit more interactive.
Okay.
Maybe do some Paladins or Gigantic or one of my other online games. I haven't really decided. But a lot of my friends have been playing Warframe a lot, and I might check that out.
Now, what's that one?
It's a third-person shooter MMO kind of game.
Okay.
They just had a big update. I tried it a long time ago, and I wasn't really that impressed with it, but apparently they released a huge update for it. And so all my friends have been playing that for the past couple of weeks. I just haven't really felt like checking it out yet, but I might check it out. I know Destiny came out, but I don't think I'm going to get that.
No,
because
it's Destiny.
It's a game by the company that made Halo.
Oh, okay.
It's supposed to be an MMO, but apparently you can hit max level in like 8 hours or something. So I don't really.
So yeah, that doesn't sound like a lot of
fun. I don't know. I was waiting to see what the console play because consoles released like a month ago, but I'm not hearing great things from them. So I think I'm gonna skip it. And so I don't know. I'm gonna see what my friends are playing, and if anybody makes any donations and wants me to play something,
that's
I might
right.
play that.
Yeah, yeah.
I may check out some games I've had for a while that haven't had a chance to pick up. But I don't know. I'm probably gonna set it the game that I'm streaming to Extra Life and just kind of do whatever. And
yeah,
if anybody wants to come and hang out and talk to me while I'm
that's
streaming
right.
for 12 hours,
that's right. Now, what channel are you streaming on? The Sarcastic Gamer or the Nerdy Rat?
I'm gonna stream on my Sarcastic Gamer Twitch, which is the Mag 007 ARAS.
Okay, so we'll put a link to
I'll put a link to my Twitch, and I'll tweet out off the Nerdy Rat link to it when I start on Friday.
That sounds good.
I don't know what time. I'll probably start sometime around noon, go noon to noon to midnight.
I think that sounds good, yeah.
Give or take, however late I wake up that day.
Yeah, that sounds like
because I'm probably going to try and wake up before that and get some breakfast before I start.
That sounds good.
Yeah, I just don't. I think I'm too old to do a 24-hour stream.
I would not say too old, but I think that's a wise idea.
Yeah,
I think that's wise.
I've been fading pretty hard around hour 22, 23 when I've tried it.
Yeah, and then you're sick for a couple of days afterwards. Just
and then I'm like
good.
totally out of it.
Exactly.
One day. So this
exactly.
will be good. We'll do Friday. Go see, check out, do Halloween stuff on Saturday.
Yeah.
Then do the second part on Sunday.
Yep.
Nice.
That sounds good.
Nice
sounds
sandwich
like a good
in
plan.
There.
Mm-hmm.
So, Yeah, thanks for listening, everybody. Yeah. Extra Life unites thousands of players around the world in 24-hour gaming marathon this Friday and Sunday.
Yes.
Support Children's Miracle Network, yes, Hospital. And I'd like to thank all of my donors so far. My dad donated $10.
Aunt Betty
donated $25.
Uh-huh.
And Steven donated $50. And my mom donated $25, I think.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So I'd like to thank all of you guys for donating. Yeah. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
You know, I try to do... This is my charity that I do, or one of them. So, yeah.
And if you're so inclined, you can also donate to Small Angels Rescue, which is our group we foster with for our rats. Mm-hmm. And they save their no-kill rescue that saves rats, gerbils, hamsters, guinea pigs, and mice.
Yep.
And they currently have several volunteer positions open for animal coordinators.
Yeah, they need coordinators
interested.
And people to volunteer.
They desperately
so if you're in
need
the
that.
Area and mm-hmm. interested, please reach out to them.
Yep.
And thanks a lot for listening, guys. We'll
All
see
right.
you next time.
Happy Halloween!
Happy Halloween! Woo!
Woo!